Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is December the 17th of the year of our Lord, 2022. And I was going to tell you, Christy, you do not have enough time to get into the story, but here it is. Now we'll give you the chance to start the story and finish it concerning what happened years ago in your life.
I was staying with my dad in Colorado, which, you know, gets a lot of snow and it's very mountainous, but he lived in a small town up in the mountains near the ski resort. And so we got a lot of snow there. And I was living there with him and my husband, and I was expecting my son, my first little boy, and I would be coming home. We had to park at the bottom of the hill and walk up. And so I'm walking up, and everybody is trying to make sure I do not fall, okay? But everybody that tried to help me fell and slid. And I'm going, leave me alone. And I'm grabbing onto tree branches and little bushes. And I'm going, don't touch me. It's like, I can do this. They're all slipping and sliding down the hill. So, hey, God took care of me because obviously nobody else could.
And ladies and gentlemen, this was Christy Johnson from Mississippi, and here he is, our dear friend brother Paul from Rochester, New York. Hello, Paul.
Hello, enjoying snow, but I don't have it in my part of Rochester yet. Go miles south, and it's there.
You know what, Paul? We pray that you'll get enough snow to enjoy next Saturday and next Sunday. Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Well, the fun thing is it's all around my church. It's just a mile south, and we already have
a church anyway. Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm here in Florida, so obviously this Christmas I'm not going to see any snow. It doesn't matter where I am, if I am in Orlando area or back to Sarasota, which is going to be around Christmas and stuff, maybe. But, you know, I'm thankful to see lots of friends and good time here the last few days. And I'm looking forward to this vacation time, you see. I'm wearing shirt, no, nothing else heavy. And that's your face. You see that, Christy? Can you read that?
Well, yes, I can read right your face, but I can't read the rest.
That's all what you're going to read. That's your face. I'm not going to read you anymore. No, hear it.
Be bigger than your fear.
Than your fear.
Amen.
Take over fear.
Amen.
You know what's amazing about fear in the Bible? The Bible talk about fear like literally 360 some 65 times or so. Whatever they do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And I believe the best way not to have any fear is to have faith. And you don't have to have a strong faith and big faith and humongous faith, but literally a faith to trust in God that He will take all fear out of you, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the fact is we have to rejoice in the Lord always, and then everything we'll go in the right track. I mean, talking to some people last week, again, in my home church, I spoke last Sunday, and they said they worry about fear. I mean, literally, one of the ladies I met in my church, she was in tears. I'm not kidding you. Physically in tears of what she heard. And I could not imagine why people would be in fear like that. And then you hear the question, aren't you afraid? I said, afraid of what? And I said that as this lady was leaving the church. And I said, the worst thing the Muslims can do to me, it is to send me to heaven. Wow. I don't know if I like that or not. It's like, wow. Is this what you're afraid of? If you're afraid to get to heaven, I don't know if you have any faith. Zero faith, obviously. Anyway, so this is
good.
My shirt.
That's a very good message, and we just talked about that. In fact, I wrote a little bit of an article about that when we were discussing this, because so many people are going through things and they are fearful, but I think that anxiety, I mean, is what they'll call it. I'm having a lot of anxiety, I'm sorry, that's fear. So we really need to look at strengthening the faith of others as well as our own. And the faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's also a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Here we've been actually, one of the messages we've been working on up here has to do with faith as well. You know, praying, when you pray, pray believing that answer is going to come. Pray believing that, that whatever you're asking for is going to happen. Whether it's, we've actually been praying for this one man and he was healed of cancer. Okay. And that alone is super exciting. So we've had a few other people on our list to pray for that. And we've seen it happen once. Why not? Why can't it happen tomorrow? Another person being healed. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And it's funny because after the week after we started changing that, how we thinking about how we pray, believing it's going to happen, that man was healed of cancer. Like, oh, yeah, okay. It's exciting.
And it once again, Brother Paul, sometimes God answers our prayer by yes, sometimes answered by no, and
yes,
sometimes he answered by wait. And if it is wait, we just have to be patient on the Lord. So we pray,
and
Lord, give us
and God wants us to pray to him. He wants us to talk to him. I mean, he doesn't care for him. If we're happy with him or if we're sad with him, whatever, he wants us to talk to him.
You know, because I worked in hospice for about 3.5 years, and I probably ministered to more people who passed away in hospice than any of the other staff that had been there 10 years. I always felt like, man, what am I, the angel of death, you know? But I also prayed for people that got healed. And I would have...
I remember you told me about some people who were supposed to die and they lived.
Yes, right. And then they would start making jokes and said, don't let Christy pray for your people. But I want you to know a confidence that we have in the Lord. And every time that you have someone who is facing eternity, and there's, you know, some families would say, please pray, you know, that they'll be healed. And I had some other chaplains who were in hospice, and they said, well, I'm kind of worried about that because they don't think this person's going to live. That, again, is that fear that comes in. And I said, you know what? Here's the blessing of this. And this is for anybody who's got a loved one who's ill. Pray for them to be healed and don't be afraid, because the thing is, my prayer was always like this: Lord, if this person is ready to go to heaven and be with you, then I know you're ultimately going to let them pass away, but they need to be ready. And some of the people I prayed for were not ready. And, you know, you minister and you pray with them, and when they were ready, I had one guy said, I just want to die. He was suffering. And because he was suffering so much, he said, I just want to die. I just want to die. And I said, wait a minute. You're asking me to get pain medication for you, and you're telling me you want to die. This could put me in a very bad situation. Like, are you going to kill yourself? And he said, well, no, I won't do that, but I really want to die. And I said, well, let me ask you, what's going to happen when you die? And he said, I don't know. And I said, then guess what? You're not ready to die. You need to know. And, you know, that's the thing. We need to confront that issue. What's going to happen when you die? And that is for every person. I love Joe Kirby, Off the Curb Ministry. He says, and I'm sure Ray Cuthbert has thought that too. He says, hey, you know what? 10 out of 10 people are going to die. So we have to be ready.
Oh, we're going to die?
Yeah, we're going to all die. But if you're ready, if you're ready to go see Jesus and you pray for someone to live and get well and they don't, then you have in that peace that you prayed and God's will was for this person to go on to be with the Lord. But make sure you share the gospel with them. That's mm-hmm. very important.
You know, I would love to share this with you and all our wonderful audience as we have this special night to talk about Christmas, about the story of Jesus. But before we even get into all of that, I have to tell you this. I have a friend who I know for a good maybe 15 years, long time ago. He used to be the head of ACT organization and he invited me to his home, and I got to meet with him and his beloved wife, wonderful lady, and he let me speak many times in the Orlando area in the Act America group. And then his wife, she got really in bad health with Alzheimer's, and she could not even remember me. She could not remember him. It was a very bad. She was sick for a good 5 or 6 years, and then she passed away. And my friend, he loved that woman. I mean, nobody will meet this woman will not love her. And I really had some wonderful years with her when she was healthy, all mine, and when she started going down. My friend was a Christian for quite some time, as I know, because we had the time of prayer and the time of sharing and the time of laughter and the time of tears even. And after his wife passed away, he developed hatred or anger toward God. Mm. To the point that he actually openly told me he does not believe in God anymore. He has enough evidence to prove that God does not exist. Oh, and then I was visiting with him here in Orlando area just 3 days ago, and I told him, I said, brother, what are you going to lose if you believe that there is God and Christianity is true and Jesus died on the cross and he was buried and rose again? What are you going to lose? Is it, you're going to live the Christian life? I mean, you've been living as a Christian all your life, and you're going to continue to believe in it with some faith, a little faith in you, and continue with it. And when you close your eyes, by the way, you have to remember this gentleman is 92 years old. He's not a young guy. And if you close your eyes here and you open it in heaven, you see your beloved wife, he said, I hope she's in heaven. I said, I know she's in heaven because she was a godly woman. She's a Christian woman. She did not die doubting God. As a matter of fact, the last 5 years of her life, she was like an angel who is so always smile, always happy without any reason. I don't even know why she's always had this smile and joy in the Lord on her face. Mm-hmm. And he said, he gave me a name of it. He said, that's what we call something. And I said, well, whatever you want to call it. And what if you were wrong? And there is God, and there is Jesus, and he did die on the cross, and he rose again, and you're mad at him, and you're angry at him because he took you up. But what if you're wrong, and there's heaven, and there's hell, and you spend eternity in hell? Because you choose not to believe that Jesus loved you. I said, God did not punish you for taking mama, I call her mama, your beloved wife. He took her to a better place. I don't think you'll be very happy if she continued to live with us in this world, and she go to a bad and worse scenario, where she'll be in very bad health, and she starts hurting herself, and we will say, Lord, we'll take her home. So, and then I went home, and somebody sent me that video. By the way, I shared it with everybody on the internet, and I really want to play this video for you, and listen to that lady. What if I am wrong? Okay, this is the Facebook video, so we're going to watch it together here.
So what if I'm wrong about believing in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? What have I gained? I've gained peace. I've gained love. I've gained a sound mind. I've learned how to love people better. I've learned that I have a purpose. I've been able to connect with people that truly care and love for me, that aren't my family. I've learned to show encouragement to others. I've been able to experience heaven on earth. And one day when I walk my last walk here on earth, I'll get to walk into heaven for believing. But what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong about not believing? What victory do you have? What is it that God is asking us to do that's not going to bless us, that's not going to give us a better life, that's not going to teach us how to live a better life with each other? What victory do you have in the end? What if I'm right? And what if you're wrong? God loves you.
Anyway, so I sent it to him. He responded back by saying wonderful things. And I believe that short video, which is not philosophical concrete, it's simple. What if I am right and what if you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I believe the brother is hard. It's a little bit changing. And he was thankful to me that I care about him. And I told him, brother, what man gained if he won the whole world and lost his soul? You gain nothing. You gain nothing.
You know, and if you have a loved one who's gone ahead of you, how tragic would it be that you didn't get to join them because of your anger? I always tell people, someone dies and it hurts very bad. I know that. But don't let your loved one's death be the most important thing they ever did to you or the most important memory you have, that they left you, that they died. That will make you so bitter. But remember their life, the gift of their life for you. And God has made a decision for each of us. He already knows the day that we will pass away, and it will never happen without God having made every effort in our lives to reach us, and he uses us to reach others. That's part of it. So I'm glad you sent that to your friend Usama. That's very important.
And then I want all of you guys to keep him in your prayer, that he will not lose hope and lose faith in Christ and in Christ alone. This was in my mind the last 2 days since I sent this video to him, and I shared it on Facebook, and then one friend wrote to me, and I'm so thankful to the Lord that literally I shared that video on Facebook. Let me read to you what my friend here said to me. Listen to this. Here's what he said. Very good video. Loved it. And I sent some other video. I would say more, but I had such large tears of joy I cannot see. Thank you. I mean, he was watching this video, and I sent another video, and he was crying too much to the point he was not able to see it. Tears of joy, obviously. This brother, by the way, I've been known for 27 years, 28 years. And there was time in his life he would not even talk to me because I'm that Christian and he's not a Christian. And I praise God that the Lord changed his heart. Now we become good friends. I'm going to visit with him next week. And he enjoys sending that video. And he enjoyed it much, but because he's crying so much, he could not see the video. I mean, man. And this brother is also goes from health problem in his back and surgery and stuff like that. And so keep my first friend, brother Michael, in your prayer, and keep my second friend, brother Frank, in your prayer. That somehow this Christmas will be a Christmas of joy, a Christmas of trusting God, a Christmas of faith. And what if our dear Muslim friends are wrong about Jesus and about Christmas? What if we are right about Christmas and about Jesus? Man, I want to think about that the next week until we celebrate Christmas. What if we're right and what if they're wrong? Man, oh man. If you put this as a mark in your walk, in your faith, that will make you inside you bubble and ready to share your faith and you're ready to share the story of Christmas with everybody you meet. Because believe me, it's not just the Muslims who got it wrong. There are plenty of Baptists who got it wrong. There are plenty of Catholics who got it wrong. There are plenty of Presbyterians and name the churches. There are plenty of people who got it wrong simply because they don't understand the true story of Christmas, the true story for the birth of Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, this is a time of year. There's two things going on. You have a perfect opportunity to share because it is the time people are recognizing the birth of Christ. And the other thing is this is a hard time for people who have had a loss. And the difference is when your hope is in eternity and Jesus. But it's a sad time when you've lost someone, you know, and you remember that loss and this time of the year makes it seem a little bit harder. But we know that faith is going to get you through if you'll hang on to Jesus and recognize what this is really all about. It isn't about your past memories and all the fun times you had in a family. It is about Christ, and that is what the whole thing is about.
Yeah.
If you leave him out, then how do you get through it the year that you don't have your loved one? You have to have
Yes, absolutely right, Christy. I lost my mom last Christmas, Christmas Eve, 15 years ago. You know that, Christy. And then I lost my dad 5 weeks later. And it's kind of, this Saturday is going to be a little bit hard for me because that day my mama passed away. But guess what? Jesus was born that my mom and I can spend eternity with my dad, with all the believers in heaven. Yeah. So what is our life in this world? But a little bit steam. You know, see the steam coming up the water, vibrant water, and then disappear. Short time, 50, 60, 100 years, that's nothing compared to that. Yeah. Brother Paul, you've been sitting quiet the entire time. What is wrong with you?
I'm thinking this is, you know, it's, I think there's so many miracles going on out there. And, I mean, God does amazing things, and that's what it comes down to. We had a guest on this show not long ago, and he was talking about how jealous he was of Christians because they have access to miracles. Well, that's true. We have access to miracles because we have the God who has love beyond our own understanding. And, you know, I'm going through the book of Genesis, and I'm looking at how the fall of man, and what does God do after man sins? He doesn't come in angry. He comes in and says, where are you? I mean, it's not like God didn't know. He wanted to hear our response. He wanted to hear man's answer. He wanted man to talk to him. That's a loving father. That's a loving God that reaches out, even though the person did something stupid and wrong and tried to cover up his own mistakes. God is, even at the beginning, was that loving that he was willing to sit down and talk, I mean, to talk with him. The stupidity thing that we did, and I pick on us guys because we do the stupid things. And, you know, most men will sit there and laugh because they'll usually, their eyes will go up in their head and they'll remember everything they've done that's stupid. But, you know, the thing is, God is always there. And that's the miracle. That we have a God who gave his life for us, and that love is beyond our understanding. And I'm thankful for that because that's what gets me through each day, because there's hope. And I met a missionary once. He died a few years ago. He died actually shortly after I met him. What made him exciting was his success rate. He would talk to anyone and everyone that he could meet. And he would teach children, teenagers, how to share Christ. And the number one thing he told people to say is, where is your hope? He'd meet people who weren't believers. He'd meet people that were believers in Wicca or whatever. And he would not leave without asking that question, where is your hope? Because your hope is Wicca, there's no hope. Your hope is in trees or whatever it is, there's no hope. Whether you're hoping Christ, there's a promise for today, there's a promise for tomorrow, and there's a promise for every day for the rest of your life. So,
even the days when you're stupid.
Yes, in fact,
that's the
funny truth about it. That promise is there for when you're doing the stupid things. It promise is there for when you're feeling hopeless. Yes.
Amen. God is good. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And I'd like to switch a little bit of our talk. This is a good introduction for our study for tonight. But I don't know, Paul, do you have any article, something happened that Mr. Paul to share with us?
I had some sad articles. Let's see. Well, this one's kind of amusing, and at the same time, it's sad. Let me pull this one up. This is from the U.K., say sad and amusing at the same time because You know, when you tell a lie, they say tell a real whopper. If you really, you've got to tell a lie, tell a whopper. Well, this one is a whopper. I'm going to put it in the chat room. And
sure.
And now it's not working. All right. What just happened? It was working 5 minutes ago.
That's okay.
Okay, let's see if I put it up in the wrong. I'll try and hit it the other way. They say if things don't work one way, try. I always
can always kind of wrap it in a hundred ways.
Took this news story down. Interesting.
Yeah.
I accessed it 5 minutes ago.
It was okay.
So here's the thing. There is a, I don't know why they took this news story down. It was in Court News UK.
Yeah.
And this is what I find fascinating. In the Court News UK, the man was using, he had attacked somebody. He traveled 200 miles to attack Jewish people. And his excuse, and he used the Allah Akbar when he attacked them. And now in court, he's claiming he is on cocaine and magic mushrooms. Wait a minute. How do you travel 200 miles?
Interesting.
On cocaine and magic mushrooms. Definitely,
I think not.
I don't think you're traveling a straight line if you're doing that one. Wow. I just accessed that story, so I'm just kind of surprised to see that one.
Well, yeah. There is a place where there's a break in it. Did you notice that? Perhaps. I mean, I'm not sure, but I noticed that. I was trying to copy and pull it up.
I'm talking about? On two different browsers, and it's just not.
No, Paul, I'm talking about your link that you just put in the chat room.
No.
Do you see where it? There's no hyphen between L, Co, and Hall. That broke the link.
Again.
Maybe you can put that back in. No.
That'd I see where you're talking about. Thank
yeah.
you. Okay, let me try that again. All right. Sometimes, yeah. And all I did was copy and paste. So let's see what happens. Well, all right. Yep, now it's in. This is. I'll put it in the chat room again. Thank you for catching that, Christy. This is
telling you that's why we hired Christy Johnson. She has good eye and she can see better.
All right.
Go ahead.
So this one is. I still think this article is funny. So there, now it works. Okay. So let me read this one. Muslim man says he had taken alcohol, cocaine, and mushrooms when he traveled 200 miles. To attack Jewish people. This was on December 15, 2022, out of Court News UK. A Muslim who traveled nearly 200 miles to carry out three racially motivated attacks on Orthodox Jews claimed to be high on cocaine and magic mushrooms at the same time. Abdullah Qureshi, 29, from Dewsbury, West Yorkshire, assaulted Kablish and Chaim Creel, a 14-year-old boy in North London on August 18th of 2021. All three victims were wearing black coats and hats. Members of the community. Okay, that's his excuse. He was on magic mushrooms.
The other thing that he said is he's mentally ill.
He's uneducated.
He's poor. They got a million of them. It's a new one.
Okay, that actually goes to another article. In France, it's just that bad. They exactly did what you're talking about. And
Chris is all these things. She's not dumb. She's smart. She knows what she's talking about. Tell her, Chris.
Throw this one in the chat room. This is exactly similar. Almost the exact same type of thing. Comes from Valeurs. Attack of Ronsarasar, a psychiatric expertise confirms of the criminal irresponsibility of the assailant. A new psychiatric report includes the discernment of the alleged assailant of the knife attack, which left two dead, several injured, on April 4, 2020, should be dismissed.
Sure!
The The latest twist in the attack should revive the debate on criminal irresponsibility indeed. So if you're Muslim and you attack somebody, you're criminally irresponsible is what they're trying to come down with.
You want to commit a crime? Oh, you want to commit a crime and get away with it? Be as follows. Number one, Muslim. Number two, black. Number three, Democrat. That's enough, man.
The Democrats are enough to get you off the hook in this country.
I don't know about you when you add Muslim and black to it, because who's going to be racist to put a black person in a crime? And if you're a Democrat and then you're a Muslim, for sure you don't want to be called Islamophobe. It's okay.
Right.
But my question is, when you read about these cases, did the judge really hate it, or did they find them guilty anyway?
So in this case, they won't be able to try them. That's what it's coming down. So he can't even.
No time at all.
He's too mentally.
Yeah, he's just.
Final psychiatric
expertise includes the discernment of the main suspect in this terrorist knife attack committed in April. He's not being able to stand trial.
Sure. How about the mushroom guy?
Quickly arrested it and taken into custody. It was immediately they saw it. They saw him do this. They took him in immediately into custody.
Sure.
So there's no question on whether he was involved or whether he did the crime. They're letting him go because,
But how about the mushroom guy? The guy who did the alcohol and the mushroom.
No, he's guilty.
He had this as a new one.
Yeah, you know, he messed up. He didn't choose one of the standards.
Only got four reasons for why.
That's what it is. He didn't proclaim himself Muslim but he did say Allah Akbar, so I don't know.
Well, he said Allah Akbar under the influence of alcohol, man. When you drink too much alcohol, you next year say Allah Akbar, mashallah. You know, I read an article last week just to get in before Christy come up with her story, if she have one. The story that somebody sent me an email, and I was caught reading about Usama Daktok. And I thought, like, man, this was big reporter in one of the places was spoken in Minnesota. And I started reading her article. I kind of fell in love with what she's saying. And I almost believe what she said. But then I said, wait a minute. She's talking about me. That's not true. I did not say that. I want to know who that woman is. She's actually a member of CARE. She's a member of CARE, American lady, who went to the meeting to hear Usama Daktok speaking, and he's talking about love and Christianity and things, and then he starts teaching hate. Muslims want to kill you. Muslims want to destroy you. And Usama said, if you are a Christian who does not, who live in sin, that means you are not a Christian at all. You must be perfect to be a Christian. So wait a minute. I never said that. I never heard of any Christian who's a perfect, I'm telling you, as I read this article, I got so much excited about it, I almost believed her. But then I have to remind myself, she's actually talking about me. She's a professional liar, a CARE member. How do you know CARE are true Muslim believers? When their lips move, they lie. When their pen right down, they're lying. Anyway, so I figured, wait a minute, you stomach. Don't believe her lies. She's talking about you, man. Anyway, so... that's the
thought
I want to share. Christy, go ahead.
Well, I had a video that I saw, and I don't have the link for it, but I'm looking right now to see if I can find it. It is called Children Seeking Paradise. Did you hear about this?
Nope.
I haven't heard that one.
Well, what it was about is these kids who are being trained in order to achieve paradise, and they want them to practice the jihad so they can go to paradise. Isn't this lovely? This is a very...
pure Islam, 101.
Yes. This is a very common thing that we've seen in years past. There would be videos of kids being taught to participate in jihad. But recently, like I said, many of these types of videos have been taken down Like I said, I had a bunch of them on my website before it was taken down. These videos where they're teaching children to act as jihadists. So anyway, I thought it was interesting that that popped up again in this video where these people were training these children to become jihadists. So I don't know if the video where it actually
probably
came
find
from.
It on memory if it's what you're talking about. I would think it would be on memory.
No, I don't think so, because this was a longer video. Memory has usually got a pretty short little one that talks about it. This was something I think done by a Christian group that was trying to expose what was happening in a Muslim country with these children. So I'll try to find it later, but you know, this is the problem. You think if something's on the internet, it's there forever. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's not there forever. If it's not something that is being approved by these fact checkers and these Muslim who connect into these programs to evaluate what's acceptable and what's not, thank the Lord that it looks like more is being done to stop this type of false teaching and false censoring that has been going on. I don't know. Maybe that's how come that video came up. But I do have it. Today I spent the day with a very dear loved friend, so I did not pull it up.
I know how much you love your friend and how much he loved you.
Who? My friend? My friend?
Yes.
Layton? Yeah.
Listen, I like the boy a lot. I remember when we were doing his daddy's funeral service and he spoke. He spoke with a sincere heart like an angel.
Yes, he did.
And I'm going to pray that
that touched everybody's heart. Yeah.
Yes, sir. All right, Paul, do you have another story before we move on?
One more story to share for now. And let's see. I'm going to throw this one in there, and I think you will. You'll have a lot to say about this one. This comes out of One News, One India. .com, and it's entitled Bihar, in clear case of love jihad, Muslim man poses as Samarkana to marry Hindu girl. So basically he's posed as a Hindu. This story came out the 15th of December.
In a clear case, I thought we have YouTube or Facebook told us that love jihad is a made-up story. You're lying about it. It is not. It's fake news or something like that.
Well, when India is writing these stories, you got to sit there. I mean, they're in there almost every week. There's an article on this. But this one, I think, it says, it's in a clear case of love jihad, a Muslim man in Bihar pretended to be a Hindu to marry a Hindu woman. The incident took place after Bihar Chief Minister Nitish Kumar had in June ruled out the need for an anti-conversion law. The latest incident was reported from the Siwan district of Bihar. And I skipped a page, just a second. Skipped a note here. The Muslim man posed as Samarkand to marry a Hindu girl who was a student at his coaching center where he taught English. In her complaint, the lady said that the accused had offered her to be a staffer in the coaching center, to which she agreed. She said that the man posing as Samir Khanna respected the Hindu way of life and adorned all Hindu rituals. The accused also wore kalwa, which is a sacred thread worn by Hindus. Lady stated in the complaint, report said the lady got to know the real identity of the accused only after he married her in court and solemnized the wedding. Yeah. So the police took cognizance of the matter and assured the woman of justice. He also ordered an in-depth inquiry into the matter and investigations are underway. So she's accusing him of basically lying his way to forcing
welcome
her to wear a hijab.
Wow.
I was watching a video at least with the Adam Seeker. One time he puts up leave and I saw it with Lynn. I don't know who else I saw it with. But in that video, a Muslim imam was telling a story about a Jewish guy who loved to drink alcohol. And the Muslim imam said how he's going to lead him to Islam. He said, you know what? Say the Shahada. And if you want to drink, you know, you can't help but this. But say the Shahada at least to become a Muslim. So he made him and said, we'll give you a fatwa, we'll give you permission to drink after you become a Muslim. So the man was so happy and he said the Shahada. And he became a Muslim. So he grabbed his bottle of wine to drink. And the imam said, now you can no do that. If you drink wine, we'll stone you to death. And if you leave Islam, we'll stone you to death. And he became a good Muslim. He stopped drinking. And mashallah, mashallah, Allah is good. Allahu Akbar, he's now a good Muslim. He never went back to drinking. And the Muslim imam is telling the story in a mosque without any shame on him. He tricked the Jewish guy who liked to drink alcohol, but he tricked him for his own good. So that love jihad story is tells about Paul. It's for her own good. She's going to marry a Muslim man. She doesn't marry one of her own, and she'll be an infant for the rest of her life. Because guess what? From now on, that good Muslim husband will beat the daylight out of her until she converts Islam, and then she'll become a... because when she dies, I don't know where she's going to go. Most likely she's going to go to hell, as Muhammad said. So anyway, so now it's Islam jihad. It is converting people in love by deception and lying. So whatever it takes, whatever it takes. This is the story.
Grace and Joy wrote that y'all is legal trickery. They lie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and it's sad because Muslims have nothing real. You know, like you said, where's your hope? They really have no hope. But yet they bring other people in by all of these means that truly are not going to be true. They're not ethical. They're not godly. And they think that they're accomplishing something good and they're committed to do it. But you know what's sad is that Christians who have everything to offer, eternal life, forgiveness of sin, a change of heart, a way to live that will bring peace and joy, and just that sense of God's presence in your life, his care and love into your life. And Christians are scared many times to share this honestly. You don't have to trick anybody. You don't have to fool them.
Amazing.
It's just
amazing.
It's sad. When
you have the truth and you're living it, but you don't share it, and they have no truth and they're lying and sharing deception to get people to believe in whatever they won't be able to believe in. And the ultimate goal justifies the means. Whatever you do, the ultimate goal is make these people good Muslims. So go ahead and deceive them, or go ahead and fall in love with them and marry them and lie to them for the purpose of making them Muslim. It doesn't matter what it is. Sadly, when I was in Indonesia, I saw this 20 years ago, where Muslim men pretend to be a Christian, going to churches all over the country, and marry the preacher's daughters. Imagine a man pretend to be a Christian for 4 or 5 years, who know nothing about Islam, and he pretend to be a Christian, fall in love with the preacher's daughter. I was involved in one personally, a preacher who invited me to his home, and I stayed with him a couple of years in a row, one or 20 years or another, and I went the second time to minister to his son. And he literally deceived his wife-to-be up to the night of wedding. And when they went to bed, first night after they get married, in the morning, he gave her the great news, sweetheart, we are both Muslims. And they've been Muslim for 5 years until I went back to speak with him. Sadly, he does not even know a jack about Islam.
Yeah.
The man does not even read 2 words in Arabic. His dad is a big Muslim imam, but it is a movement. It's a movement in Indonesia. Fall in love with a Christian lady, pretend to be a Christian for whatever years it takes, and marry them. And inshallah, Allah will bless your marriage and have some wonderful Muslim babies out of these Christian ladies.
Well, we know that people on the internet and Facebook, women who are being contacted by people, you know, it's that's happened to me. People send you a friend request.
I know plenty
like
of
that.
Friends who go through
but,
that.
But they'll say, yes, there's lots of women that have been through this. And they'll go, yes, I'm a Christian, and da-da-da. They always say they're a Christian. But, you know, it's crazy because you need to use a lot of caution about who you accept friendships from. And I used to say when somebody sends me a friend request, I don't often accept it if I don't know you or I specifically know people, you know, in your circle. But you can't know everybody on Facebook. I'm sorry, you can't. And so just use a lot of caution. I said, man, if somebody gives you two first names, there's a problem. They always pick two English first names, like John Roberts or something. And it's like I would go, man, that's terrible. Well, then my granddaughter is getting ready to get married to somebody, and he has two first names. So I went, okay, well, messed up there because he's a very good guy.
What's amazing about your story, Christian, is this. They claim to be a Christian, or they say, I'm not a practicing Muslim.
Yes, right.
What do you mean you're not a practicing Muslim?
How can you be a Muslim?
I mean,
you're
Muslim.
You're
going
to be a Muslim
when you practice Muslim?
Yeah.
Become a good Muslim.
So just, you know, women need to be careful because that is real. Love jihad is real.
Yes.
Yes.
Whatever way Muslims can trick somebody to make them accept Islam.
Oh, where they think they're going to make them be a Christian. Oh, that's even, I'm sorry, that's when you are being stupid one day. God will forgive you. That's one of your stupid days if you think you're going to make them be a Christian.
Before you get married, people. Equally yoked before you get married.
That's
right. By the way, when it comes to Islam, not even before. I'm telling you, I have said this many times. If I have a sister, she's about to marry a godly Christian man who come out of Islam, I will warn her, don't marry him.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to say,
I agree.
I mean, I'm talking about a godly Christian man from a Muslim background. He's going to marry my sister. I said, I don't trust Muslims. They're a professional liar. They are worse than anything else you can imagine. I mean, you have to know the man for 5 or 10 years before you even think about walk out with him, date him, to become friends. Because they're dangerous. They're dangerous.
Yeah, and you know what?
That story, it resonates because, I mean, I know former Muslim women who will tell you it was hard for them to, when they came here to the United States to stop lying because it was such a part of their culture. I mean, it took her, the one woman I sat and talked with for a while, Noni Darwish, she actually talked about how difficult it was for her to stop lying.
Hey, by the way, do you want to have Noni Darwish to be with us in one of our shows?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Hey, I'll invite her in. I really talked with her a few weeks ago, and we rekindled our friendship. She's a wonderful sister. I love her, and I believe she loves the Lord so much. So maybe soon we're going to have some guests, guys. After we finish our study on Moses, we maybe do a little bit change, get some guests in our show as well. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to go to our study for tonight, the Bible and the Quran on Christmas, the real story. A quick break. We'll be right back.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad had claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophets in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spent several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then began production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called Prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this beautiful Saturday night. It is about Christmas. It is December the 17th of the year of our Lord 2022. And boy, oh boy, we have a great study. If we cannot finish it today, well, guess what? We'll pick it up next Saturday, and we will finish it next Saturday. I know it's Christmas Eve. Chris is going to look at me like I'm crazy. You know what, Christy, people do on Christmas Eve?
Open presents.
They do nothing after they open the presents. Open the presents and presents earlier. Okay, never mind. We'll finish it tonight. Christy's going to get mad at me. She's going to quit, and Paul's going to get mad at me. And okay, we'll finish it tonight, Lord is willing. All right. So, we're talking about the story of Jesus. We're talking about the story of the birth of Jesus to concentrate in our study here. Why? Because what if Muslims are wrong? If we have the right story, do we really love the Muslim enough to tell them the truth about what we believe about the birth of Jesus, especially when we compare it to what they think they know or believe about the story of Jesus? I'm going to share with you a few verses, and Paul, you can help me to read with me, or Christy, anyone of you would like to do that. So I'm going to go here, show, okay, do this one here, do this one here, and we're going to pick up this one here. It looked like I'm talking about the death of our Lord. No, we're not talking about that. That's just a picture we have for that presentation. What the Quran teach about Jesus? We're going to look today about comparing the account of Jesus in the Quran with the Bible concerning that story of the birth of Jesus, okay? What the Quran teach about Jesus and what the Bible teach about Jesus. Well, the birth of Jesus is what I'm talking about. Obviously, the rest of this we're not going to talk about tonight because this is just the presentation which we have. So, Paul, I don't know if you can hear my slide or you want to read them.
And remember in the book, this is from Quran 19:16-18, and remember in the book, Mary, when she went apart from her family to an eastern place, I think it's supposed to say Miriam, right? she went apart from her place, went apart from her family to an eastern place, so she took a veil apart from them. So we sent our spirit to her, so he appeared to her a normal human. She said, surely I seek refuge with the merciful from you, if you were a fearer.
Quickly, I want to share with you here, and Chris, you can stop me anytime if you want to add any thought. No problem at all. Remember in the book, what book here Allah speaking about? It's talking about the New Testament. He may be talking about the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, because these are the two Gospels which from them we learn about the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Maryam in the Bible. And what are you going to tell us, Muhammad, about her? She went apart from her family. Are you kidding me? Does this fit with the culture setting? Will women in Mary's days or teenagers in Mary's days just leave home and go apart somewhere else, live in the, some other country? Of course, that does not fit the culture setting or the social life in the days of Mary. But Muslims cannot say that. Why? Because they believe they're reading the true story. What is your wrong? Let's compare the story of the Quran to that which is the reality of Mary's days. How old was Mary at the time? Some people say 14 or 15. I'll even go for up to 20. Up to 20, up to 30 in Mary's days, girls do not leave home and go on far from the family. That does not happen. Okay, trust me. It's a big error. I know for sure your Allah was wrong, your Jibreel was wrong, and your Muhammad is wrong, because what the Quran teaches here does not make any sense. And then what? She took a veil apart from them. Are you kidding me? And then what Allah said? He sent his spirit. What is the spirit of Allah? Oh, don't worry, Paul. Don't worry, Christy. A Muslim scholar gave us 19 different interpretations of what is the spirit of Allah. And the best one for that verse here, actually, angel Jibreel. Wow. Jibreel came to Mary as a normal human. What do you mean normal human, Brother Paul? I mean, two eyes, two ears, one nose, two hands, and 2 foot. A man, 5'8" to 6 foot tall guy.
Yes, he committed, so he falsified his appearance, is what you're saying.
He was a human. And the only man, a human, man. Talk like a man, walk like a man, is a man, okay? Now, she, of course, said, I seek refuge with the merciful form. If you are a peer, I'm wondering why Mary did not run away scared, like Muhammad ran away scared from the same Jibreel. I mean, Muhammad was 40 years old man, and he ran to his wife and his family, Zambuluni Kavni. He was scared to death. Why, when Mary met that same Jibreel, she didn't run away? She's talking to him like a big girl. As Muhammad, the 40 years old man, was talking like a sissy girl. I'm scared for his life. All right, let's move on, Brother Paul. Right.
Quran 19:19-21. He said, surely I am only a messenger of your Lord that I may grant to you a righteous son. She said, how can I have a son when no man has touched me and I was not unchaste? He said, likewise, your Lord says, it is easy for me, and we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us. And it was a decreed matter.
So here's that human who Muslims claim to be Angel Jibreel, told her, I'm just a messenger. You can have a righteous son, a perfect, holy son, Ghulam and Zakiyyan, pure son. Well, she has the normal question. How can I have a son when no man has touched me? By the way, that word touch me, that is the Hafs Quran, the one we use in Egypt. If you go to some other Quran, like the ones used in Morocco, it would say, no man have sex with me. Same Quran, same verse, different words. One touch me, another one has sex with me. Obviously, to me, it would make sense if she said no one has sex with me. Because, I mean, I touch hundreds of women. None of them got pregnant for me touching them, okay? But it'll make sense if it's have sex, no touch. But anyway, my Quran in the Egyptian one says, yamissani, which means touch me. Well, guess what his answer was? Oh, no problem. He says, what? Likewise, your Lord says, it is easy for me, and we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us. And it was a decreed matter. By the way, that answer, that question and that answer, as we're going to read a little bit late here in Quran chapter 3, completely different story. Which means, what is the Quran? The Quran is wrong. What if Allah did not really say that, or that Allah of Muhammad is not really the God of the Bible? Because how can Allah give us two stories in the Quran, contradict each other about the same story, separate information? What if the Quran is wrong? The problem is our friends in the Muslim belief, they don't believe anything wrong with the Quran. It must be perfect. If there's something different between the Quran and the Bible, it's because the Bible is corrupted and the Quran is true. But what if the Quran contradicts the Quran? Don't forget the word of Allah. Have they not considered the Quran? If it is from other than Allah, they would have found in it many inconsistencies. Well, guess what? The book is loaded with inconsistencies. And we see the question of Mary, how can I have a son when no man has touched me and I was not unchaste? And the rest of the answer in verse 21, Quran chapter 19, he says, likewise, your Lord says, it is easy for me, and we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us, and it was a decrement. As only, as a matter of fact, the only agreement between that answer of that human and the other answer which we're going to read in Quran chapter 3 is the word likewise, and the rest of the words are completely different. All right, move on. Go ahead, Paul.
Quran 19:22-24. So she conceived him. So she withdrew with him to a remote place. So the pain of childbirth came on her by the trunk of a palm tree. She said, oh, I wish that I had died before this.
So now Mary is pregnant, and Mary went a little bit, some other place, remote place. She's like, does this story make any sense? Let's think again about the culture setting, the social standard in Mary's days. Girls do not get pregnant and move on to another city, work in Walmart, and provide for themselves and for their baby. No! This is the foolishness of Muslims to think of the Quran to be the perfect word of Allah, because that does not fit with the culture 2,000 years ago in Mary's day. Where she had her baby? Oh, on the trunk of a palm tree. And she said, oh, I wish I had died. And because she thought the reason she was wished to die, to be dead, or to be forgotten, forgetting, nasyan, mansiyan, it's very simple, because two reasons. Number one, the child pain. Or number two, the shame of having a baby. Can you imagine? Somebody is pregnant for 9 months, and suddenly it just hit in their heart. Wow, what people would say about me having a baby when I don't have a husband? That's a big problem for Allah. That is a big problem for Jibreel and Muhammad, because Allah forgot there's a name of a guy by the name Joseph. We read about in Matthew chapter 1. And if Muhammad had read the story right as it is written in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, he will not have any problem with this shame of having a baby. But what about the childbirth? It was painful. Oh, maybe that makes sense. So now she's going to have a baby under the palm tree. Wow. This is not another book. This is not another writing by any person, Jew, Christian, Roman, theologian, Greek, French, Italian, American, Egyptian, nobody, there was no American just then. Nobody else wrote about the palm tree except Muhammad. Therefore, Muhammad is right and everybody else is wrong. Okay, makes sense. So now she has the baby, and the baby came out, and he said what? Wah! Wah! Like any baby was going, no, you got it wrong. You Christian got it wrong. Why? Because Jesus said, oh, do not grieve, mama. And indeed, Allah, your Lord, has made a creek under you. I know you're thirsty. And wait a minute. What creek have to do with anything? Her grief, her sorrow is for being in the childbirth or a child without a husband. What creek have to do with anything? Was she really thirsty? God help us. God help us. By the way, according to the Bible, the first miracle Jesus performed was when he was 30 years old. That is when he literally changed the water to wine in the wedding of Galilee. Not when he was born, spoke like a baby. Because what I'm reading right now in the Quran, it's a miracle. This is a miracle. So what she's going to do with this palm tree? Listen.
And chapter 19, verses 25-27. And shake the trunk of the palm tree toward you. It will drop fresh, ripe dates on you. So eat and drink and please the eye. So if you see any human, so say, surely I have vowed a fast to the merciful. So I will not talk to any human today. So she came to her people with him, carrying him. They said, oh, Mary, indeed you have brought a strange thing.
Yeah, very strange. It makes sense. The whole story of the Quran makes a lot of sense because the Bible is corrupted. I understand. Shake the trunk of a palm tree. Christy, you have three children. Actually, you have four. Is this right, Christy?
Five.
All right. But that's after all. You have eight children, every one of your babies, where you're just so strong, you feel like, wow, I can shake a house, not just a palm tree. Did you have the strength of shaking a palm tree?
No, I did not.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
Maybe because you're just a sissy woman.
Maybe.
See, Mary was a strong Jewish young girl. She was 14, 15 years old, and she just had the birth of baby Jesus, and she was so strong, she became like this green, what do you call it? You get big and shake in the building. You know what I'm talking about?
Green giant.
No, he's talking about the guy that turns from a human into this big green
guy. Yeah, and his shirt gets cut.
Yeah. What's
like a gorilla.
The what?
Never mind. But you know what? The problem is not is she strong to shake the tree. The problem is what kind of tree she was shaking. By the way, you could not even get 6 or 10 men to shake a palm tree, okay? They're big. They're strong. You cannot shake them. But that's okay. The miracle is not her shaking the tree. The miracle is that tree she was shaking at Ibn Kathir, the great Muslim scholar. Oh, I love that man. He told us that tree was a headless tree, which means trees could never have babies. But when she shook the tree, somehow the miracle happened. Mashallah, mashallah. The miracle happened and that right day tree found her.
I mean, this woman just gave birth. Now you're dropping stuff on her. Come on.
Oh, man, she did it because not only she was thirsty, Allah gave her the creek. She was hungry and Allah gave her the date. So she's going to eat and drink. What he said, so eat and drink and please the eyes. Remember, we talked about Isa, son of Mary here, who is Ghulam and Zakiyyah, a pure son or a holy son or a righteous son, whatever translation you want to use for it. The first thing come out of his mouth is he's teaching his mama to be a professional liar. Yes, indeed. You heard me right. So eat and drink and please the eye. And if you see any humans to say, surely I have vowed a fast to the merciful. Wait a minute, Brother Paul. If somebody eats, is he fasting?
Well, only under Islam.
Okay. If somebody is drinking, Christy, forget about Paul. Paul's going to be smart aleck with me. If somebody eat or drink, Christy, in life, will he be a fasting person?
No.
Oh, she's going to eat and drink and she's fasting. But wait a minute. You see, Usama Dakhil, he does not understand the Quran. He is not a scholar. Don't listen to him. Islamophobic people. The verse is not talking about fasting of eating and drinking, but it's talking about fasting of talking. Because see what he said here? So if you see in humans who say, surely I have vowed a fast to the merciful, so I will not talk to any human today. Can you see it? I will not talk to any human today. That means she's fasting of talking. You got it, Paul?
But she can't even tell the truth about that because she's already talking to a human.
Oh, man, you blow the Quran, man. You destroy Islam, my friend. What if the Quran is wrong? What if the story about Christmas and the Quran is wrong? What if the person of Jesus and the Quran is dead wrong? Because you know what he's saying. If you meet it, if you see in human, so say, you know what so say means in English, Christy Johnson?
It means to speak.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
So what she's going to say, surely I have vowed a fast to the merciful. So I will not talk to any human today. This is 18 words, Sister Christy, 18 words.
Yeah.
Can you consider 18 words of talking is fasting of talking?
No, I don't think so.
And the strange thing, Brother Paul, Sister Christian, all a wonderful audience, she's going to carry the baby by her own hand, walking back to her family. She left home, she went to East, she got pregnant, she went to the remote place, she birthed the baby Isa, she's carrying baby Isa, and she's going home. You know what do we call that in the Jewish law?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly what you said, Paul was right. The death certificate. You don't carry a baby and go home with it, telling your mama and your daddy or your friend or your family or somebody, hey, I got a baby boy. Let's celebrate the baby boy and have a good time. They will actually stone her to death. But since the Quran and Allah and Jibreel forgot to mention a guy by the name Joseph, that story does not make any sense. It is dumb for dummers. That's exactly what it is. What if the story is wrong? What if the story is wrong? Let's continue with the story. Good.
Verses 28 to 30. O sister of Aaron, your father was not an evil man, and your mother was not chaste. So he pointed to him.
Yeah,
they said, how can we talk with him who was in the cradle, an infant? Esau or Jesus said, surely I am the servant of Allah. He gave me the book and made me a prophet.
All right. Oh, sister, friend, you have to understand, you need to go to Quran chapter 66, verse 12. Mary, the daughter of Imran. And here, Quran chapter 19, verse 28. Oh, sister of Aaron, in simple words, Muhammad was just simply confused between Mary, the mother of Jesus, the daughter of Heli or Heli, and Mary, the sister of Moses and Aaron, the daughter of Imran. The difference between that Mary and that Mary, good 1,500 years, that's not a big deal at all. I mean, who cares 1,500 years? Things, time flies fast, man. Time goes fast. Trust me. No big deal. Sister of Aaron, I can't help but to laugh. I know you were laughing when you read that song. But when you go to Quran chapter 66 and verse 12, you know how did Mary got pregnant? It's shocking. It's amazing. According to the Bible, you know, we're going to read the Bible in a minute here. But according to the Quran, and Mary, the daughter of Imran, when she kept her virginity, she was not a ungodly woman. She was a virgin. Allah breathed into her virginity from his spirit. And Muslims look at that verse, and the great Muslim scholar Qaltubi said, it's not a big deal. I mean, you Christians make a big deal about the virgin verse. You see, for a baby to be born, you need two liquids. The liquid of the father, which is nutfa, white, thick, and from it you get the bones and the muscles. And the liquid of the mother, which is soft and yellow, from it you get the flesh and the blood. The liquid of the father comes from the backbone of the father, and the liquid of the mother comes from the woman chest, or maybe some say from the woman breast. That is two simple things. Mary is the only one who came up in this life with the two fluids, the fluid of the father in her back and the fluid of the mother in her chest. And when you mix these two fluids together, now you got nutfa and shash, and you know the story about 40 days without any change, and you go to another 40 days. It changed to blood, into your blood, and then you got 40 more days will become a piece of flesh, and then the angels will come to the womb and shave the head and the legs and the hands and flow the spirit in the thing and become a baby, okay? It's normal. No big deal. It just happened in the case of Mary, she got both flows, and when Allah breathed into her private part, he got her excited sexually, and she produced both flows from the back and from the chest, and that's how she was able to get pregnant. No big deal. Daughter of Imran got pregnant. Like any other person gets pregnant. No big deal. It is stupidity. It is foolishness. It is sickness. Most Muslims don't even know that Al-Tabri teaches that. Or their scholar is a garbage that lies. What is the story about Jesus is wrong in the Quran? But anyway, here we go. She said, he will tell you himself, oh, really? We're going to talk to a baby in the cradle? Yes, indeed. And he immediately spoke again. He did not talk like a baby. You know, the story of the Quran will make more sense, Paul, is he's the son of Mary, talk like a baby. You know how baby talk?
Gaga, Google.
Sure, book, give the book. I mean, he'd be speaking like a baby. No, the guy is speaking like a grown-up man. Surely I am a servant of Allah. He gives me the book and he made me a prophet. Miracle. That's a miracle. Go ahead, bro.
And he made me blessed wherever I was, and he commanded with the prayer and the legal alms as long as I live, and to be righteous to my mother, and he has not made me arrogant, miserable.
Of course, we know that this is made up, nonsensical teaching of Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad. Jesus never spoke these words at all. He did not speak like a baby at all. He never performed any miracle before the age of 30 years old. Okay? And if Jesus was supposed to give alms as long as he lived, he had to pray and give alms as long as he lived. Well, I can say Isa is praying right now in heaven. Yeah, okay. To whom Isa is giving alms right now? He's not dead. He's still alive. As long as he lived, he gave alms, Paul. It was Isa, son of man, right now in heaven doing some job. I don't know. He's maybe doing carpentry work for Allah up in heaven, or maybe he's doing some painting. He's making some money to give, to be, you know, zakat, to be alms. Doesn't make any sense. And if Isa even is working in heaven and he have alms, does he have poor people in heaven right now? He's been in heaven for 2,000 years, Paul. He must be making lots of work. He's making lots of money. He's giving lots of zakat, because as long as he lives, he must give zakat. To the poor. Do they have poor people in heaven? And was he really a righteousness to his mother? This is the first story, guys. This is the first story. Go ahead, Brother Paul. Christy, share whatever you want to have.
The angel said, "Oh, Mary, surely Allah has chosen you and purified you."
Whoa, stop. I saw in the word of Allah, Quran chapter 19, Allah sent his spirit, Jibreel, who appeared to Mary as a human, a normal human.
Remember that.
Who's speaking to Mary here, Christy?
Angels.
That there's three or more in the Arabic language.
Well, is it one or three?
Well, one is Malak. Two is Malakan. Malaika is three or more. So you have to be three. It could be actually 50 angels talking to Mary. It could be 1,000 angels talking to Mary. But what happened to the story? Why did the story change from Quran chapter 3 to Quran chapter 19 or from 18 to 3. I mean, can't you see something is wrong with the story, my Muslim friend? It was a human, normal human talking to Mary. And the words now is not the words of human, one single guy. It is the words of angels. Not only two different groups are talking to Mary, but the story is completely different. Oh, Mary, surely Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you again, because he forgot and he chose her twice above the women of the world. Do we read this word in the story of the one human who talked to Mary in Quran chapter 19 verses 16, 17 all the way to 33? No. Why Allah Quran contradicts itself? Can the Quran be the word of Allah when we have in many inconsistency in it? Go ahead, read verse 43, Brother Paul.
O Mary, be devout toward your Lord and worship and kneel with the kneelers.
Wait a minute. Why Allah is emphasizing in that Medini chapter that Mary is a human who is going to worship and bow down and worship Allah, like all the people who worship Allah? You see, in the beginning of the writing in Quran chapter 19, Muhammad was trying to be nice to the Christians. Maybe he didn't like it. Then he heard about some people worship Mary. Then he believed that what the Christian really believed. Of course, wrong information. Then he come up with the conclusion that the Christian Trinity is Father, Mother, and Son. So Mary is Allah. No. Let's clarify this once for all. Oh, Mary, worship Allah. Oh, Mary, kneel with the kneelers. You're not a God. You are just a human, Mary. Muhammad is emphasizing on that because he saw some wrong people worship Mary, thinking that, that's what Christians do. The false Trinity, Father, Mother, and Son. How about verse 44, Paul?
This is from the unseen news that we revealed to you, and you were not with them when they cast their pens, for which of them should take responsibility of Mary, and you were not with them when they disputed.
What happened is the Quran. I saw the angels was talking to Mary, and Mary talking to the angels. Why Allah put verse 44 in the middle? That's how the Quran is written in the book of chaos. Allah, he is speaking actually to Muhammad. Muhammad, you were not there 2,000 years, or actually 600 years ago, Muhammad, when the priest in the temple was arguing with each other who's going to take care of Mary, because you see, Paul, Christy, Mary was the daughter of an important high priest, wonderful guy who just died, Christy. And now somebody needs to take care of Mary, the daughter of the high priest. You idiot, you know nothing about Mary or Jesus, because Mary was not of the lineage of the Levites. Mary did not have a father who is a high priest or a priest at all. As a matter of fact, Mary's daddy is not Imran, and Mary's daddy's name is Eli, who is alive at the time of the birth. Not when Mary was a baby, but later, literally years later when Mary was having her baby, Jesus. How do we know that? You go to Luke chapter 3 and read about who is the father-in-law of Joseph, Eli.
I just want to clarify, in case someone's listening to this and they are not aware of it. When we see Quran chapter 3, in our mind, we think this was written first and not 19. Would you speak to that and explain that?
Yes, the Quran order is a chaos. As a matter of fact, we got Mecca chapters in the middle of verses, in the middle of Medina chapters. What Muhammad wrote in the first 13 years, or Muslims claim he wrote in the first 13 years, is all called Mecca chapters. Then he immigrated to Medina and he wrote Medina chapters. There is no order in the Quran. So Quran chapter 19 is written in the early 13 years as Muhammad lived in Mecca. Quran chapter 2, Quran chapter 3, actually chapter written later in the last 8-9 years of Muhammad's life before he died, before he came back to Mecca.
Thank you.
It's a chaos book. It's a chaos book. All right. So what is the story about the pins? Now, these priests, everyone loves the high priest who passed away, and all of them wanted to take care of his daughter, this baby girl. So they decided to go ahead and cast a lot. How they can cast a lot? Every one of them have a pin. Okay. Every one of them have a pin. And in that pin, guess what? It's not like you go buy a pin from the store. That pin is a piece of wood, come off a tree, and you sharpen the edge of it, and you dip it in the ink, and you write it. Okay, it's like old days pins. So every priest has his own pin, and then they're going to cast all the pins into the water, into the Nile. Oh, sorry, the Jordan River. Okay, some river. And of course, you know the water runs from the high land to the low land. In the case of the Jordan River, it runs from north to south. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. The pin, which is going to go against the wave of the water, is going to go upstream. It will be the pin whom Allah chose for that priest who owns the pin to literally take responsibility of Mary. Okay? So they cast all the pin, and Zechariah, John the Baptist, daddy's pin, went upstream, and the rest of the pins went downstream. Stop. No. We're going to do this again. We're going to do this again. Why? Because now we're going to do this. If all the pins went upstream and the one pin go with the water, that will be the one chosen by Allah. And guess what? Allah did the same thing. Zechariah, John the Baptist, daddy, is the one pin was going with the stream and all the other pins went up. Therefore, it was Allah who chose for Zechariah, John the Baptist, daddy, which Allah called the Quran Yahya, another wrong name. He is the one who's going to take care of the baby girl, the Mary, or Maryam, the daughter of the high priest, who passed away. So where do you think she lived, ladies and gentlemen? She lived inside the Holy of Holies. And how did Zechariah check on her? Not from the door, no, from the window of the temple, of the window of the high, the Holy of Holies. What a dumb interpretation. Why? Because first of all, that space in the Holy of Holies is not entered by any females. It's not entered by any men. It's only entered by the high priest once a year. You know what happened if somebody go inside the temple is not the high priest once a year? He will drop dead. Even the high priest, when he goes to the Holy of Holies, they put a robe around his waist, jangles on the edges of his robe. So as long as they can hear, you know, jingle ring, jingle bell, jingle, all the day. Although that jingle is ringing inside, that means the high priest is still alive. If he's not shaking, he's not moving, he cannot hear the bell and pull the rope and find the guy is dead because he maybe made a mistake inside the holy place. So you roll him out by the rope. Not two guys go and carry him out. If the two guys go to carry him out, you'll be dead too. Okay? No girls live in the holy place, and more important than that, there's no window in the holy place. The models can go on in detail, and I don't have time to cover all this in detail. They tell us that every time Zechariah go check on her, in the summer she has the fruit of the winter, and in the winter she has the fruit of the summer. Mashallah, mashallah. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Yes, Allah. Yes, Allah. So, go ahead. Move on to the next verse. Go ahead, next verse. Go ahead, brother.
When the angel said, "Oh Mary," I'm sorry.
How about, okay, for
47 to 48. She said, "Lord, how can I have a son when no?" I think we went back a ways.
No.
They went back a ways.
Yes.
How about John? It is. We got to this one here.
Okay. When the angel said, "Oh Mary, surely Allah gives you the good news with a word from Him. His name is the Christ, Isa." Jesus, Son of Mary, exalted in this world and in the hereafter and of the nearer. And he will speak to the people from the cradle and in his old age and of the good.
Sorry about this. The sound was speaking the other side. Anyway, so now the angel is speaking to Mary and they tell her the good news. What's the good news? She's going to have a baby, okay? A son. His name is what? Isa. Why in the world Muhammad put Isa, not Yeshua, not Jesus? Could this be a mistake? What does the name Yeshua mean, which is the Hebrew Yeshua? It means Savior. That exactly would be a perfect name for the Savior. But see, Muhammad does not want Jesus to be born as the Savior. Therefore, he changed his name to Isa. What Isa means, it means nothing. It's a name made up by Muhammad without any meaning. And what is the miracle about that? That baby Isa here, he will be exalted in this world. And guess what? He's going to talk like a baby. We already read what he said in Quran chapter 19. And he will be also speaking as in the old age. Kahlan. The word Kahlan is actually a man who is taking a vacation from the cemetery. He's real dead. Real old. 105. 110. Okay? Well, guess what? Jesus left this world in the flesh when he was 33 years and a half. I'll make this 34 to round the number. 34 is not an old man. 34 is not 110. Isa never spoke, according to the Quran, Isa spoke as a baby and he's going to speak as an old man. Jesus of the Bible never spoke as a baby and he will never speak as an old man.
Right.
When Jesus left this world, 33 and a half years old, that's exactly how he's going to come back. Not a real old man was falling piece off and, falling, you know, hair is gray. No. Jesus does not age in heaven in the last 2,000 years. So, could the Quran be wrong? Now, listen to the question of Mary and the answer of the angels. What she said here?
He said, "Lord, how can I have a..."
Lord, I thought she was talking to angels, and the angel said, and the angel said, and Mary said, and the angel said, what happened to the pronoun? She said, angels, Lord. Why we have a singular Lord, Brother Paul?
We have a problem.
Muhammad forgot. Never mind. Keep going.
Yeah. He said, "Lord, how can I have a son when no man has touched me?"
That's the same question was given in Quran chapter 19. How can I have a son when no man has touched me? And but there she added, and I was not unchaste.
Yeah.
So it's the same question. You know what's common about the answer in both verses in Quran 19 and Quran 3 is the word likewise.
Yeah.
Likewise in Quran chapter 19 and likewise in Quran chapter 3. And the rest of the answer is completely different words. Would you examine your Quran, my dear Muslim friends? Please examine your Quran and tell me, can the Quran be wrong? Go ahead, sir. Paul, are you still there?
Paul, I think he's frozen.
He's
it's time to freeze.
All right. Go ahead, Christy. Read for us the rest of the verse. Likewise, what?
Likewise, Allah creates what he will. When he makes a command, so surely only says, so he surely only says to it, be, and it will be. And he will teach him the book and the wisdom and the Torah and the gospel.
Did we read any of that answer in Quran chapter 19? Let me take you back to 19, Chris. Okay. I'll take you back to 19 to see how this answer was given by Allah in the Quran. Okay? Here we go. Listen to verse 20. Go ahead, read verse 20 for me.
And she said, how can I have a son when no man has touched me and I was not unchaste? He said, likewise, your Lord says, it's easy for me, and we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us. And it was a decreed matter. Not the same thing at all.
It's completely different words, Christy. It's like two different Mary, two different Isa, it's two different stories. Here is a human talking to her. There were angels talking to her. She has a question. How can I have a son when no man has touched me and I was unchaste? And I was not unchaste. He said, likewise. The only answer which is the same is the word likewise.
Right.
Your Lord says, that's not what said and there. It is easy for me. That's not what said there. And it was made, and we make him a sign to the people. It's not written there. And the mercy from us is not written in Quran chapter 3. And it was a decree met. It's not there. Here we go. Let's go back to Quran chapter 19. Chapter 3. I'm sorry. Here we go.
Paul's back with us.
Okay. Here we go. Once again, she says, Lord, go ahead.
He said, Lord, how can I have a son when no man has touched me? He said, likewise, Allah creates what he will when he makes a command, so he surely only says it be. So it will be, and he will teach him the book and the wisdom of the Torah and the gospel.
Why the Quran in chapter 3 gave a completely different answer in Quran chapter 19 concerning how this can be?
I think
and
when you lie,
and my question. Yes, indeed, Brother Paul. And my question to the Muslim people, how can that be that Allah forgot what he said to Mary in Quran chapter 19 and give us completely different answer in Quran chapter 3? I hope our dear Muslim friends can examine the Quran to understand that this is nothing but falsehood. I'm sorry to say that there is no truth whatsoever in the teaching of the Quran concerning the birth of Jesus. Quickly, if you don't mind, Christy, can you open your Bible? I know you have your Bible ready and you're excited about reading the Bible for us tonight. Amen.
Of course, but let me pull it up because I had everything else up here, but hold on.
I know. You're my special friend.
Yeah, I know. The problem is, hold on one second.
You know what? If you cannot open it, I think I can open it.
I have it.
What are we looking at?
If you let me do it, just you guys are so impatient. I'm honestly.
Yep.
You're so impatient. Hold on.
Matthew chapter 1.
Yes. I'm sorry. See, you get me nervous and I start hitting all the wrong things.
Oh, we love you, Christy.
Sure. No, I do have to be nervous. That's the problem.
Where are we starting?
Matthew chapter 1, beginning from verse 18.
I can put it up. I've got King James up. Is that what you want or no?
It doesn't matter. Any Bible is good.
Okay, so you're putting it up. All right. I'll close mine then.
Open Luke 1 if you don't mind, Christy. After Paul reads Matthew 1, you can read for us.
Okay, Luke. I just closed
it. She can read it. There you go.
Go ahead. This gets so confusing. I had it open and I shut it. So I'll read from yours. But now I shut it. You said you put it up, so. However you want me to do it. You just tell me.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Matthew 1:18, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Yes.
That's fine. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Mary Christy, just a minute. Notice here, Joseph. What happened to Joseph in the Quran? Muhammad did not know anything about him. What happened to Mary? She was engaged to Joseph. And before they got married, before they had sex together, she was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, verse 19.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately.
But it's very simple. All what Joseph had to do is walk to the synagogues or walk to the temple and say, this is my fiance. I had not had sex with her. She's pregnant. They will stone her to death, and that'll be the end of the story. But he was a righteous man, and he was thinking about it in his head. He was thinking and thinking and thinking, what am I going to do? He said, you know what? I just let her go in secret, and everyone go his way. She go her way. I go to my way, and this engagement's over, and we are not going to get married. What happened in verse 20?
But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, now the Lord is speaking to Joseph. The power of the Holy Spirit there, and the Holy Spirit through the angel of the Lord is speaking to Joseph. He said, what? Don't be afraid to take her to be your wife. Why? She did not cheat on you. She is pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what's going to happen? She's going to birth a baby. We don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. We don't know what the name is going to be. No. Read verse 21.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
You mean she's not going to birth a baby girl? A son. And what is his name? Isa? No. Jesus. Yeshua. Yeshua in Arabic. Savior. So his name is Savior because he will save his people from their sin. If you're missing that verse from the Quran, you're missing the whole entire story of the birth of Jesus and of why even Jesus came to this world.
That's
and
right.
Why is that, Christy? Go ahead, read to us
now,
the rest of your verses.
Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
I know some Christians do not believe that the Virgin Mary was not the virgin the rest of her life, as they claim, but she was actually married to Joseph, and she had lots of other children, and we can talk about that in depth in some other broadcast for tonight, because we will have time. But the reality is this. Matthew 1, verse 24 and 25 is very clear. Joseph did was the angel asked him to do. He took his wife. He did not have sex with her. He did not know her until she birthed her firstborn, her first son. Because guess what? She had second son and third son, and who knows how many other children she had. We read about them in the Bible as well. And what did she name him? She named him Yeshua. She named him Jesus, not Isa, as Muhammad claimed in the Quran. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1.
Okay, second. All right, what chapter, what verse?
26.
Yep.
You want me to read it?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yeah, anybody,
just wanted to make sure. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city, Galilee, named Nazareth.
Hold on, notice here, Christy. What is the 6 months? 6 months of what? you read the previous 25 verses, you know that God has spoken to John the Baptist, daddy, Zechariah, and he told them that he and his wife, Elizabeth, they're going to have a baby. And 6 months after Elizabeth got pregnant, now the angel Gabriel is speaking to the virgin. Her name is Mary, who was engaged to a man by the name Joseph, and that happened in the city of Nazareth. Muslims have no clue who is Mary, who is Joseph, where does he live, when this happened, how it happened. They know nothing, Christy. So go ahead and read the story.
Okay. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women.
You mean he did not say to her, worship with the worshiper and kneel with the kneelers and be devoured to your Lord, devout to your Lord? Why the story is written different in the Quran? Not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, the Quran contradicts the Quran, my friends. Here's what the angel said. He did not say what is written in the Quran, but what is written in the Bible. By the next verse, sister.
And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what matter of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
Notice, none of these verses is written in the Quran.
Yeah.
The conversation between the angels and Mary, or the human and Mary, did not have any of these verses. Could the Quran be wrong? Could the Bible be right? Keep going.
He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Notice that we're not talking about just a simple king, somebody sit on the throne for 50 or 100 years and then he die like everybody else before. No! He will sit on the throne of his father David, and he will be there forever and ever. His kingdom have no end. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty. He is coming in the flesh. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of the Highest. He will be great. Why Muhammad did not mention these words in the Quran? Because trust me, if you put these words, you can kiss Muhammad and Allah and Jibreel goodbye. You kiss Islam goodbye. Islam could not be true if what is written here is true.
That's right.
Now, here's the question of the Virgin Mary in verse 34. What did Mary say in verse 34?
Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
Uh-huh. Notice the answer here in verse 35.
And
not only does not match Quran chapter 3, but it also does not match the contradictory story of Quran chapter 19. The angel answer to Mary here is completely different word than that which is written in the Quran. And don't forget, the Quran contradicts the Quran. Read Quran chapter 3, read Quran chapter 19, and find that Muhammad's story does not make any sense whatsoever in the Quran. Go ahead.
And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Jesus is the Son of God. Muhammad did not understand that, and he could not figure this out, and everything Muhammad said about Jesus' birth is simply a pure lie. We'll stop here, my dear friends. We'll stop here. I hope and I pray our dear Muslim friends who are watching this broadcast, examine the Quran. Maybe you think I made it up. I just made the Quran, contradict the Quran to make the Quran look stupid, and we got the true story in the Bible. No. Read your Quran once again. You don't have to read it in my translation. Read it in any translation. Just put Quran chapter 3 and Quran chapter 19 side by side and read them and film me. Is it the same story or is there contradictions there? Does it make any sense the culture timing and the culture setting of Mary 2,000 years ago. Of course, none of what we have read tonight is accurate. I'm sorry. It does not fit the Bible, does not fit the culture in Jesus' days, and the Quran does not fit the Quran, as Allah contradicts himself in these two passages about the birth of Jesus. And I tell my dear Christian friends, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Trust me, if you do not know Jesus to be the Son of God, God Almighty who came in the flesh, who died on the cross, who was buried, and who rose again on the third day, if you do not know that Jesus to be the Savior of your soul, then you are not saved. Then you belong to any other religion, as we're going to see in the conclusion video for our study tonight. The uniqueness of Christianity, that Christianity is not like every other religion. They're all wrong. Christianity has the truth. You can save yourself, as you may think, and you're going to end in hell, or you count on one Savior. His name is Jesus, and you'll be saved forever. So, Brother Paul, do you have a minute, brother, or two to share whatever the Lord put on your heart?
When you're listening to this and you're asking yourself questions about what the Quran says, you know, it's right there for you to listen to and look at. If you don't trust what's here, go find any Quran, look at it. You're going to see the same information. The question is, which has the most accurate information, which is truthful? And if you find that Jesus is real, we're excited for you. This next message that is going to be shared is what it really comes down to, making a choice. Your life it comes down to making one single choice. Do you choose for Jesus? Or do you choose for something else? Where is your hope? And it kind of started with that question. Where is your hope?
Sister Christy, a couple of minutes.
Well, just, you know, I've said this before to people who have questioned, and it sounds simple. If you want to know if Jesus is real, if the Jesus of the Bible, the Savior that was crucified and died for your sins, if you want to know he's real, you can ask him to show you, and to show you he's real. The problem is, even atheists, I've found, are afraid to get on their knees and ask him to show himself real. And I think the strange thing about it is, atheists being afraid to do that, they're afraid they'll find out that he's real. You have to ask yourself, why would anybody be afraid to do that? Only one reason: that they'll find out he's real. And we have that privilege to ask God. He said, you know, call on him and you'll be saved. Ask and it will be answered. The door will be opened if you knock. You have to ask him, though. He won't force himself on you. God bless you all and have a wonderful...
We love you, our dear Muslim friends. And we care about your eternity as I cared about my friend Michael, the one I shared with earlier. I don't want you to die without knowing the Savior, the truth, the life. Because there's no any other way for me or Christy or Paul or you to make it to heaven except through Jesus Christ, the one who died and he was buried and he rose again. His name is not Isa, he's the son of the Virgin Mary. His name is Yeshua, the Son of God. And if you don't believe in that, you got everything else wrong. What if we are right? And what if you were wrong? Where are you going to spend your eternity? I hope you examine your heart and watch this video as we conclude our study for tonight. Brother Paul, Sister Christy, thank you so much. God bless you both. Merry Christmas.
You.
Happy New Year. For all those who accept Christ as Lord and Savior, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls,
they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, In other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, ah, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Put your law on that side. And I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know. Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus. Save your sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, thank you, everybody.